There's nothing like the presence of God to just recharge your day, isn't it? You know, when you just spend those, no matter what you're going through, just a moment in His presence will just change and transform your entire day. Changes everything. Man, I love Him. I love Him. He's awesome. And He's so good. He's so good. I love being a follower of Jesus Christ. And I hope you do too, because you've heard some testimonies this morning. We get to boast about our best friend. And we get to speak on behalf of our King and to tell people how awesome He is. It's such an awesome privilege, isn't it? It really is. I'm blessed to be able to have this position where I get to talk about Him a little bit more each and every week. But it's just a privilege to be a follower of Jesus, to be able to talk about your best friend and to tell others what He has done in your life. It's such an awesome thing. Well, today is a special day. Today's a special day because we're going to bury some people. I love baptism Sundays. A couple months ago, a young man called the church, and he called the church, and he was just so excited. And he's on the phone with me, and he's telling me about his testimony, and he's saying, "Oh, you know what? This has happened to me. This is what happened. I gave my heart to the Lord." Da-da-da-da-da. And he's going a mile a minute, right? I'm like, "Whoa, whoa, whoa, whoa." He's like, "I know the next thing that I have to do is to be baptized. Can you baptize me right now, today?" I'm like, "I would love to. I can't. But if you can meet me here at 1 o'clock tomorrow, I will make sure that you get baptized tomorrow." And so he came, and we baptized him. His name is Emmanuel. He's standing right, sitting right there. So we had the privilege, a few months ago to baptize him here when nobody else was in here. It was me, Ray, and Catherine, and we got to minister with Emmanuel. And man, I'll tell you what, it just, when you watch somebody come out of that water in the newness of life, it's just like, man, it restores that joy of your salvation all over again, doesn't it? So today's a celebration. Today's a day where we celebrate our relationship with our Father. We get to celebrate our relationship with Him. And what is taking place today is undeniably awesome. And I want to share with you a little bit about baptism, and I want to talk about it, and I want to mention two things that we're going to look at today. First of all, baptism, I'll tell you those two things in a minute. Baptism is a special time because it's a special part of an exciting part of following Jesus. Jesus laid it out in Matthew 28 and in Mark 16 that we should do like He did, follow His example. It says, "Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations and baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and in the Holy Spirit." And so He places this out there for us to do, and he puts it in place, and that's why we practice it. This sacrament of baptism, we practice it because Jesus did it for one, and He tells us and He commands us to do it for another. You see throughout the Bible, and you go through Acts, and you see the apostles, they practiced it. And then Paul, he passes it on to the members of the New Testament church. It's awesome. And there's such a significant part of a follower of Christ's life. In your life with Jesus Christ, baptism is such an essential and significant part that I can't wait to talk to you about this morning. And so this morning, there's two things that we're going to look at. One is that baptism identifies us with Christ. Baptism identifies us with Him in His death, in His burial, and in His resurrection. It's a beautiful thing. We'll see this morning that we actually are united with Christ in baptism. We're actually united with Him in His death and in His resurrection. And if you read through the Word of God, you see how important unity is for salvation. To be united with Christ is an essential part of your salvation. So that's the one thing we're going to look at, is how baptism actually identifies us with our Savior. And the second thing that we're going to look at is that baptism is your exodus. And I'm going to talk a little bit about that in a little bit. The day you are baptized is your exodus date. If you would turn with me in your Bibles to Romans chapter 6. Today's pretty easy for me because the Word of God does all the teaching. I believe it'll be up there as well. Thank you, Brian. We're going to read verses 1 through 11, but what I want to do first is I want to give you a little bit of context to the chapter before and in Romans 5. And in Romans 5, you have Paul, and he's talking to the church, and he's written to the church, and he's talking about how we have been justified through our faith in Christ Jesus. That we have been declared not guilty of our sins because of the blood of Jesus and our faith in knowing that Jesus died on the cross for us. And because we are justified, we now have peace with our Father. That relationship that was once tainted and separated has now been restored between God and mankind. Creator and creation now have peace among themselves again. There is not enmity that separates the two. But because of what Jesus did on the cross, and our faith in that, we are justified. And he says, you're not guilty of your sin. Not only are you not guilty, but I've restored this loving relationship with my creation. And he says that we have peace with God through access. We have access to the Father through Jesus Christ. You have access to the living God every minute of every day. That's what Jesus died for. So that you could be constantly connected with your Creator. A God who loves you so, so much. And Paul goes on to talk about sin. And he talks about how sin... Good morning, sweetie. You are beautiful, aren't you? Yes, you are. Paul goes on to talk about sin and how sin came into the world through one man. That man's name was Adam. And he came into the world, and so the wages of sin is death, the Bible said. The result of our sin equals death. And so when Adam sinned, it caused death to come to the earth. Before sin entered the earth, death did not exist. And so Adam, he gives in to his selfish temptations and his selfish desires, and he sins. And now after that, the Bible says in Romans 5, which I'm giving a little context, is that sin and death spread throughout all mankind. And so now you and I and everyone that you know has been born into this life of sin. It has been spread. Because sin came into the world through one man and infected everybody else. Paul goes on to say, so also the righteous act of one man, that man being Jesus, came justification for all mankind. Because of the righteous act of one man and your faith and belief that he died on the cross for you, you have been justified, not guilty. Declared not guilty by the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the God who sits on the judgment seat. How awesome is that? That's how awesome your God is. That's how great your God is. So let's pick it up in verse 1 of chapter 6. That was a little bit of the context. And Paul says this in verse 1. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin so that grace may increase? He says, of course not. God forbid that. How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? Do you not know that we who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? He's saying, do you not know that when you were immersed into Jesus Christ, you were actually identified with him in his death? Verse 4, so therefore we were buried with him by baptism into death. That just as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in the newness of life. Paul is trying to get them to realize here, hey guys, when you were baptized, you were buried with Christ. Hey guys, when you were baptized, your sin-loving nature was buried for good. At that moment where you were baptized into Christ Jesus, you were baptized into death. You died to your sinful nature once for all, for yourself. And just as he was raised from the dead, so also should we walk in that newness of life. That's such a beautiful thing. He's saying that those who have been united to Christ have died to sin. And I love it in verse 4. He says, therefore, just as Christ was raised from the dead. we should also walk in that newness of life. And Paul is trying to help them see just how significant this baptism in Jesus was. And so when you put these verses in context with chapter 5 about sin coming into the world through one man, he's showing them that Jesus' death conquered the power of sin. Jesus' death conquered the power of sin. Sin's power was forever broken when Jesus died on the cross and when he raised to life. Sin's power, sin's dominion, sin's demanding nature over your life was forever broken and destroyed. Sin is a demanding dominion. It forces you to comply to it. Sin is something that forces you to comply to it. And without Jesus, the Bible says that we are enslaved to sin. You're a slave to it without Christ, which results in death. The Bible says, for the wages of sin is death. That's what sin is working so hard at producing. Death. Sin is at work in this world and in the people that you love, working so very hard to produce death. To kill them, to destroy them, to give them no hope. Sin's final triumph is this thing called death, where you will be eternally separated from your Father in heaven. That's what sin is working so hard to do in all the people that we know and love that do not have Christ. It's working so hard. You know why? Because the enemy hates you. He despises you. He hates you so much. He wants nothing more than for your life and your eternal life to be forever depleted. He wants to steal, kill, and destroy everything about you because he hates you. But there is a God, and his love for you will blow your mind. It blows your mind. And so now the only way for this sin to never have dominion over people again, resulting in our eternal separation from God, was for sin's power to be destroyed forever. That's the only way. That was the only way. And so by Jesus' death and his burial and then his resurrection, sin and death became powerless. This is good news this morning. Because a lot of times we forget this, and I'm going to talk about that in just a moment. Sin and death became powerless to all who placed their faith in Christ Jesus. Jesus defeated death head on. His resurrection is the solution for all of mankind who believe. Sin is that infectious disease that is leading you to death. But what Jesus did on the cross crushed the power of sin forever. Sin no longer has control over you. For those who have faith in Christ Jesus, sin's power, sin's dominion, sin's control has been forever destroyed. So now all who place their faith in Jesus and identify themselves with him are given eternal life. Why? Because death had been defeated. Death is powerless. So because of what one righteous act from one righteous man did, you're given eternal life. And so no longer does God see you in all of your sin, but he sees you in the washed blood of Jesus Christ that covers your life. He chooses to see you in the righteousness of Jesus. For those who believe and put their faith in Jesus Christ, he does not see you as a sinful man, but he sees you as a restored child of the living God who's covered in the blood of Jesus Christ. And it's so important that we remind ourselves this on daily, because just because the war has been won, the enemy's going to keep trying. He's going to keep trying. Baptism is a spiritual circumcision that takes place. It's a circumcision. Circumcision was a sign of a covenantal relationship with God. In the Old Testament, they circumcised themselves physically, and saying, God, I'm all yours. I belong to you. And in the New Testament, we have a new circumcision that is done by Christ. In Colossians 2:12, it says there's a circumcision that is done by Christ, having been buried with Him in baptism. This circumcision is a declaration of setting yourself apart for Christ, saying, God, I'm all yours. I'm all yours, man. Everything I have, all that I am, is all yours. We just sang about it. My life is not my own, right? To you I belong. And I give my life to you. That's what it's all about. Your life is no longer yours. And trust me, you don't want it to be yours. I don't know about you, but when I had my life in my own hands, it ran into just a brick wall. But when I gave my life to the Lord, when I surrendered my life to Him, so many years ago, it started me on this path with Him that, man, I'm just blown away. When you trust Him with your life and you just give everything over to Him and you recognize that your life is not your own, but it's your life is His to have and to hold. And you knowing that you can trust Him with your life because He's got your very best interests at heart, man, I encourage you to trust Him a little bit more this week. I'm off the track here. It's good. It goes on to say again in verse 4. Let's read verse 4 again. Therefore we have been buried with Him by baptism into death, just as Christ was raised up from dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should also walk in the newness of life. See, the end result is that sin no longer has dominion over your life. That's the end result. It no longer has you enslaved to its purposes. It no longer has you headed for death, because through Jesus Christ you've been set free. And that's what baptism is we're identifying with Him in His death, in His burial, and in His resurrection. Let's read on in verse 5. For if we have been united in the likeness of His death, so shall we also be united with Him in the likeness of His resurrection. I want to stay there for just a second, because this is a key passage of Scripture. I want to read it again. For if we have been united with Him in the likeness of His death, so we also shall be united with Him in the likeness of His resurrection. I'm going to read on. Knowing this, that our old man, our old person, has been crucified with Him so that the body of sin might be destroyed. And so we should no longer be slaves to sin, for the one who has died has been freed from sin. What we're doing this morning in baptism is we are uniting and identifying with His death. And those who have died have been freed from sin. Oh, it's about to get good. Okay. I want to say something about verse 5 here. Let me read it again. I know I'm jumping all over, but it's awesome. For if we have been united with Him in the likeness of His death, so also we also should be united with Him in the likeness of His resurrection. This, for me, is a key to living a life for Jesus Christ. Here's a key. Because this allows you to enjoy your new life in Christ. Because you have been united with Him. Our bondage to sin died with Him. Our love for sin, it died with Him. And so now also you are united with Him in the newness of life. When you go down in this water, you're killing off the old self. You're burying your old self in there, and you're coming out walking in the newness of life. And so you put to death that old man and you bury it under this water. You come out in this newness of life. You are now able to enjoy this life here and now Because you understand that sin no longer has dominion over you. It no longer has power over you. It no longer has control over you because of the righteous act of one man, Jesus Christ. Sin no longer has power over your life. Jesus said that he came to give life and to give it abundantly. Here's what I believe. That moment when you give your heart to Jesus, when that moment that you just give your life into his hands, you step into eternal life. At that moment, you step into eternal life. You're living your eternal life right now. Think about that for a second. You are living your eternal life right now. This is just a passing through moment of eternal life. So even if that promises of Jesus that he says, I came to give life and to give it abundantly, even if that meant for eternal life, understand you're living your eternal life right now. So when he says that I came to give life and give it abundantly, which means to give it in all of its fullness, that applies to you right here today in 2015. This is such a powerful, powerful thing for believers. For followers of Jesus Christ. It breaks my heart to see Christians and they're followers of Christ when they're not enjoying life. They're not living a joyful life. I believe that we should be the most joyful people on the face of this earth. In the face of suffering, in the face of temptation, in the face of trials and tribulations, we should be the most joyful people on the face of the earth. That's why we celebrate when we come here. This abundant life is yours here and now. So take hold of it. It is a gift. It is an unbreakable promise from your King that you can live your life right now. Wherever God has you in this very moment of your life, you can live it abundantly. You can experience life to all of its fullness because of what Jesus did. In verse 6, he says, knowing this, that our old man has been crucified with him, putting it to death. He's talking about baptism here. So that the body of sin may be destroyed. Now, it's important to understand that Paul is not talking about your human body here. See, our human body, our physical body, is not evil. It was created by a perfect and holy God, and nothing he creates is evil. Paul is referring to our sin nature. Our sin-loving nature that we inherited from Adam. We all know what I'm talking about. And although our bodies cooperate with our sin nature, we cannot view these physical bodies as evil because they're not. It is the sin in us that is evil. And it is the power of sin that was at work in your body at one point that has been destroyed forever. Destroyed forever! You're no longer under sin's control. I might say that 25 times from here on out. You're no longer under sin's control. It has no dominion over your life. It has no power over you. Because you are in Christ Jesus. You're baptized into his death and in his burial, and you walk out in newness of life. You bury that old man in that water. Now, there are times when we still feel like sinning, right? We all know that. And sometimes we do sin. Sometimes we will sin. But here's the difference. The difference is that before we were saved, we were slaves to it. And no choice. We had no choice. We had to comply to it. We didn't even realize it. We were forced under its dominion to obey its commands, and it was leading us all to this eternal death. This eternal separation from our God. But now we have been freed from its hold and power over us. And now we're free to live for Christ. That's the difference. Today is a day of freedom. For these people, today is the day that you bury your old person forever. And you walk out in the newness of life, free from sin's grip. Today is the day that they will unite themselves with Jesus. Today they identify with him in his death. They identify with him in his burial. And they identify with him in his resurrection. They walk out in the newness of life, knowing that sin has no hold over you. Has no hold over you. So that's the first thing. Baptism identifies us with Christ. We are united with Him. And here's the second thing I want to talk about today. Is that for these people today, today is your Exodus date. Now, I heard a message a few months ago from a Bishop Joseph Garlington at a conference. Powerful, powerful preacher. And he preached on the significance of baptism. And he was talking about how baptism is our Exodus date. Now, the baptism, purpose of baptism is to deliver sinners from the power and the dominion of sin. And that's why we take it so seriously. And so he mentioned a question and he asked that many people ask. And then he followed it up with a different answer. He said, do I need to be baptized to go to heaven? He said, no, you need to be baptized to get out of Egypt. Let's look at that for a moment. Remember back in the book of Exodus. Right? Old Testament events foreshadow New Testament promises. Back in the Old Testament, in the book of Exodus, the Israelites, they were enslaved to the Egyptians. They were enslaved to the Egyptians. For 400 years, they had been in bondage and slaves to Egypt. Moses comes along on assignment by God to lead his people out of slavery. You know the story, the plagues come. And then there's this final plague. And in this final plague, death was going to sweep over the land of Egypt and killing the firstborn of every family. And God instructed the Israelites to take the blood of a sacrificed lamb. And he instructed them and commanded them to put it on the lintels of the doorpost and on the doorpost. Now imagine that for a second. A little bit of blood up here, a little bit of blood on both sides. This is what he told them to do. And if they did that, death would pass over them. Death would pass over them. And so the blood on the posts and the Passover, that Passover, when death passed over them, that was the moment they were redeemed. Because of the blood of a lamb, they were saved from death. Because of the blood of a lamb that was sacrificed, they were saved from death. The blood of a lamb that they sacrificed bought them freedom. And death passed over them and did not kill the firstborn of their families. But here's the problem. They still had to get out of Egypt. They still had to get out of Egypt. They were still in the land of bondage. They were still in the land of slavery. And so the point that Bishop Garlington is making is that baptism gets us out of slavery. That baptism is our exodus from bondage. From the bondage of sin. You see, we cannot go back to Calvary and visualize that moment where Jesus is bleeding to death on a cross. We can't go there. None of us were there. We can't visually go back to that moment and say, that's the day. I can remember it. I remember exactly what it looked like. That was the day that Jesus died on the cross. But we can go back to the day that we are water baptized. And we can say that on August 2nd, 2015, is the day that I walked out of Egypt. On August 2nd, 2015, that was the day I left my bondage forever. We can't go back to the day that Christ died on Calvary, but we can say on August 2nd, 2015, in Cornerstone Christian Church in Broomall, in this little box, that was the day that I died. That was the day that my old self was crucified. That's the day that my old self and my old man was buried for good and forever. That was that day. I remember that day so very vividly. That day I walked out in the newness of life. No longer did sin have any control or bondage over me because I buried him forever. That old man, I circumcised it. I peeled it off. He's buried in this water. That was the day that I walked out of Egypt. That was the day that I walked out of slavery, my bad dude. That was the day that I walked out of slavery and into this newness of life. On that day, my shame was undone. And it's so important because the enemy is going to try to feed you with doubt time and time and time and time and time again. Saying, that salvation thing, that didn't work for you. Look at yourself. Look what you're still doing. You're still in bondage to that. You're not free from that. And he's going to try to remind you over and over and over and get you to doubt the truth of the Word of God. You remind him of this day. And you say, that was the day. No. That was the day that I died to my sin. That was the day where I buried it forever. That was the day that I circumcised my old man forever. And I walked out in the newness of life. Baptism is not just symbolic, it's a reality. There's something very spiritual that takes place in that water, I believe. Let's finish up by reading verses 8 through 11. And here it is, ready? Now, if we died with Christ, right? If we died with Christ, we believe we shall also live with him. Knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, will never die again. Death has no further dominion over him. For the death he died to sin once and for all. But the life he lives to God. Are you seeing this identification here? If this stuff happens with Jesus and in baptism we identify and unite ourselves with him in these things, likewise. Here it is. You ready? Love it. Verse 11. Likewise, you also consider yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So likewise, let's just read it again. Okay, so good. Let's just do it. Now, if we died with Christ, we believe that we should also live with him, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, will never die again. Because death has no further dominion over him. For the death he died once to sin. The death he died to sin once for all. But the life he lives to God. So likewise, church, you also consider yourselves to be dead to sin, but alive to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Water baptism is a celebration of a relationship between you and God. Let's celebrate. All right, I'm going to ask everyone that's getting baptized, come on up. Josh, can you take care of this for me, man? And can you also be down on the spot with the counts?
Come on.
Thank you. All right, come on in here. Phil assures me that it's very warm. It's not bad, actually. That's really nice. Okay, you can just stand right there, okay? All right. So, Takesha, I've gotten to know you quite a bit over a while now, hasn't it? It's been a long time. And so I know a little bit about your testimony, but I want you to just share just for a moment about what God has done in your life and why you're doing this today. And here's your notes.
Good morning, Saints. I'm so excited right now. 10 years ago, I wanted to get baptized, but didn't know the meaning of baptism. I took the Bible study classes, and I went. The day before the baptism, I didn't go to do the baptism because I realized I wasn't ready for baptism. But now I know where I stand. 10 years later, I know where I stand with Christ, and I know the true meaning of baptism, and I'm ready. The reason why I'm baptizing is because Christ did it as an example to follow him. And I am his follower. And in obedience to his word, I'm going to get baptized. I am not what the world or who the world say I am. I was in a dark world and I was lost. But I am grateful that I found myself when Christ found me. I repent of my sins and confess that he's my Lord and personal Savior. I had nightmares, wanted to commit suicide. And the Lord said, don't do it, because he saw something in me I didn't see myself. I had an encounter with the Lord one night in the midnight hour, and I heard a still voice saying, everything is going to be all right. After my little encounter with the Lord, I pulled it together and pulled myself out of where I was because I believe in what the Lord had told me. I was in a corner. I was afraid. I saw things that wasn't even there, but I made it through it all because of what the Lord said. I count my blessings daily because it got me where I am today, alive and set free from my chains, from the sins, the chains and the bondages I no longer bear. I am grateful for the new life being in Christ. I am saved, sanctified, Holy Ghost filled. I'm on fire for the Lord. I'm fire baptized. I got Jesus on my side, and now I'm getting baptized in the water to complete. Now I'm getting baptized in the water in the newness of Christ. Today I will be dead to sin and alive to Christ. Amen. For the vision is yet an appointed time, but at the end it shall speak and not lie. Through it tarry. Wait for it because it will surely come. It will not tarry. I wanted to do it 10 years ago, but I didn't because I never knew the true meaning, but I got saved. August the 13th going to be a year now that I'm saved. I wade through it, I tarry through it, and now is the time that I was going to get baptized to receive the newness of Christ completely.
All right, so Takesha, I'm going to have you kneel down. Just get on your knees. All right, so what you're going to do is you probably want to hold yourself like this, right? And if you want to hold your nose, okay? So Jesus is your Lord, isn't he? Yeah, I know that.
I'm also excited.
Oh, yeah. That's awesome. Well, Takesha, because of your confession of Jesus Christ as your Lord, it is my privilege and honor, and I can baptize you in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Grab your nose, okay? There you go. Yeah! Oh. You're in, man. Go get in. You go. It's always the question. So for those of you who do not know, Takesha and Earl are engaged. So this is a special time in their relationship. It really is. They're doing it on the same day together. They're dying together, and they're getting buried together. That's cool. That's the thing they make Hollywood movies about. I want to. All right, man, go ahead and get on your knees. Actually, no, hey, stand up for a second. Tell us why you're doing this today. Just share your heart, man, with them.
When I was 10 years old, I got baptized, but I didn't give my life to the Lord. So I kind of was born backwards. You know, I was more so in a situation where I was in the church. I believe that they meant well, but I feel like they was careless with my soul, because this was an important thing that I believe that nobody should play with. You know, this is something that you really have to commit yourself and be with the Lord. 100% committed to him. I took the mark of a disciple, but I wasn't following Christ. And I mean that, and it hurts, because, like, you know, now I know better. You know, I know. I wish I knew Jesus how I know him now back then.
Yeah, yeah.
But what it means to me is like this. He's king. Like, you know, he said, except for a man is born of the water and of the spirit, he shall not enter into the kingdom of God. And to me, like, if this was school, Jesus took all 12 grades for me. And after he took all 12 grades for me, the only thing he asked me to do was show up for graduation. And if I don't get baptized, it's like disrespect for everything that he did for me. You know, so to trust him and obey him, it just means a lot.
That's awesome. I got to get down on knees. I'm going to fit you in here. Hey, see if you can put your... Earl, I know you love Jesus with all of your heart, man. And I know, and he is your Lord. So with your confession of Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I can now baptize you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. I love you, man. A little slippery. Oh, sorry, man. You're good. You're good. All right, Linda, you're next. We got another husband and wife combo. Oh, yes, sorry. All right. Microphone. Phil, can I have that microphone back? You've already been boasted about this morning of your change. So would you just share with everybody a little bit of that change that's been going on and why you're doing this today?
It's funny that Phil said that to me this morning because that's exactly how I feel. I feel that since I've been coming and giving myself to the Lord, everything is changing in my life. And I'm very thankful for that. So as I go into the water, as I come back out of the water, I'm going to be a new person, and I feel that inside and out.
Yeah.
And I can see the Lord working inside me and outside me. And He's giving me my son back.
Linda gave her heart to the Lord. It was Easter, wasn't it?
Yep.
Yeah, on Easter Sunday. And so, Linda, because of your confession of Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I can now baptize you in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. You're up, man. Going that way? All right. So I'm going to put you a little bit more on the spot than you wanted. It's okay. here you go. You gave your heart to God, how long ago was that? About 3 years ago? Yeah, and dude, you've been a tremendous blessing to this church, for one. And I can see that you've been a tremendous blessing in your household since that change in your life. And
yep,
it's had a trickle
changed.
Effect. Go ahead.
Yeah, 3 years ago I came here, and a lot's changed in my life. Got my family back together, and I just became a whole different person with Jesus in my heart. And I'm here just to bury the old me and follow a new life with Jesus.
Amen. 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 Well, let's bury him.
Amen.
So, Rich, because of your, because of your confession of Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, it is my privilege and honor to baptize you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Yeah! Let's give them all a spray. Let's give them all a hand. I love you, man. Those of you who are baptized, could you just pay attention? Just listen up here for a second.
The Bible says that there's a time for everything under the sun and every season. And there's a time to die. But the Lord would say to you today, there's a time to live. And not just to live, but to live in expectation. Ryan preached about coming out of Egypt. God did not bring you out of one place. Did not bring you out of Egypt to bring you into a different place. Brought you out of Egypt to bring you into the promised land, to bring you into a place of blessing. And because you've acted in obedience toward God, God says he's now going to act, and you have released him to act in faithfulness to you. And I want you to know to live in expectation. You have a right and even a duty to expect the blessings of obedience to follow you, to crown you from the top of your head to the soles of your feet. Wherever you walk, remember this day. Yeah. The blessing of obedience is now yours. That's the new life. Live in expectation. Don't go back. There's nothing in the leeks and garlic of Egypt except bad breath. I heard somebody say that. That's not my line. But it's the truth. There's nothing back there. But there's expectation, and there's hope, and there's glory, and there's promise. Drink from the wells of salvation. Eat at the table of the Lord. Be anointed with the fine oil of the Holy Spirit. Your cup is going to run over. This is a great and mighty day in the Lord.
Yes, it is.
This is a time to live, but live in expectation, says the Lord.
Is there anybody else? Anybody else?
I had a funny picture praying for you guys, and just saw mainly I saw a picture of you walking around a block, but I think this word will be for all of you. But I saw you walking around the city block, and the phrase that came to me was walk it off. That's something my grandma used to say when we were little. She was a tough old lady, and if we fell and got hurt or anything like that, she didn't like us to cry. She would say, get up and walk it off. And I just saw a picture of you walking around a block, a city block, trying to walk it off. But the Lord wants you to know that those days are over. And he runs up. I just saw him running up while you were walking. And he ran up and started walking with you. And this is for all of you. Don't suck it up anymore. Okay? Give him your burden. Don't hide the pain. But on your knees, give it to him. You have a quiet strength that he honors. You guys have a passion that thrills his heart. You are a mom and a wife of long suffering, and he honors that. But don't suck it up any longer. Give it to him. And these three verses are for you. Psalm 40. I waited patiently for the Lord to help me, and he turned to me and he heard my cry. It's okay to cry. He lifted me out of the pit of despair, out of the mud and the mire. He set my feet on solid ground and steadied me as I walked along. He has given me a new song to sing, a hymn of praise to our God. And this goes along with what Pastor Phil said, because I got this word before he even shared that. And many will see what he has done and be astounded.
Yes, yes, yes.
And they will put their trust in the Lord. But you too. Cry, give it to him, everything, the hurt, the joy, all of it. Give it to him. Let him carry it. Let him break bread with you. He is your God and your Savior. And as you honored him today, he says, today I honor you. And I want you to know in your heart of hearts that, yes, I do love you. Amen.
Amen.
I think it's wonderful to see couples getting baptized together. And I know God's up there just looking down with a big smile, you know. And you guys are going to be the strength of your family now, because you're going to be able to work in unity now. Before, one was saved, one wasn't, and you weren't working in unity. Now you're working in unity with Christ. And that's a blessing within itself. You two are ready to get married, you know, and God's going to bless you. You guys are going to be a mighty weapon on the streets. You guys are going to win many souls to the Lord, you know. And I'm just getting bubbles on the top of my head. My hair standing up if I had hair. But now I pray for all four of you that you be baptized in the Holy Spirit. You know, that's important, is being baptized in the Holy Spirit. So I just want to pray for that right now. And church, just lay your hands forward to them. Oh, dear Heavenly Father, I just come. I ask you that you would send your Holy Spirit down upon them, Lord. I ask you that you would baptize them in the Holy Spirit now. They were just baptized in water, Lord. So I ask for the baptism of a new Holy Spirit in them. Give them new gifts, Father. Give them new gifts. Let them be lay hands on the sick and be healed. Let it be let them see signs of wonders from others, Father, Lord. Let them all speak in tongues, Father. I just ask you that they be baptized in your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen.
Well, I know that you guys are cold, so you guys can just follow that trail of towels downstairs and go get yourselves changed. Why don't we say we stand together and celebrate, amen?